how to price real estate in 2024. Heather, thanks a lot for being here with me today. I really want to talk about what we're going through in 2024. We're starting to see where the puck is going and where we should be skating through. We want to take away the stress for a lot of people right now in real estate. And I think it's real important that we spend a couple minutes here just expressing to people the changes we're seeing now and what we anticipate in the future.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking specifically about pricing today. And making sure we're pricing properties or sellers or an understanding of where the pricing market is going. And mostly we can only talk here in Tucson because we only have the stats in Tucson, but you never know. Nationwide, we're kind of on about the same path everywhere else. There's going to be pockets that are going to be different for sure.
Yeah, there's always those outliers in, you know, certain parts of the country, right? Mm-hmm. But in general, sellers look to price homes based upon what they see as well as what they want.
Correct.
Okay. So what are you seeing, or what are the, some of the agents on the team sharing with you about the seller's wants versus what's really happening out there?
Well, we have to lean on stats a lot when it comes to putting a right price on a property. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are still interacting with a lot of sellers that are seeing the market the way it was back right after 2020, and where the market kind of became really, I wouldn't say unstable, but a little bit more maybe volatile than it is right now, or what it was back in 2019, right before COVID, where, you know, they talked back in the day when the crash happened, where you couldn't get into a property and you were writing contracts on the hood of a car.
Right.
Well, essentially, we were doing that again from 2020 to probably the beginning of 2022. There were a lot of sellers that could say, I want this price for the house, and they were getting it. People were coming in, cash was king, came in, they bought the house, they weren't asking for concessions, sometimes they weren't asking for repairs, sometimes they were even waiving their due diligence period, which is a big no-no.
Right. Yeah.
But people were struggling getting into the right home at the right price because prices were going through the roof, because it was essentially, I want this, this is what I'm going to get. And then 2023, 2024, and we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we actually were having, the banks were saying, you know, this is kind of what the comps are, but the next day a cash comp would come in and it would raise the C. It would raise the market value of that property. That's why we're seeing such equity in houses right now.
So,
we can't do that.
So what are you seeing? I know what I'm seeing when it comes to talking with the seller. So the seller calls the real estate agent and says, I'd like to come home and talk to me about the price of my house and what we're going to do for my house, right? You go there and you say, Mr. Seller, your house is worth $400,000 in the current rate. And mm-hmm. he goes, well, 2 years ago I paid, you know, $350,000. It should be worth $600,000 now. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Seller, why is that? Well, because property values during the time I was buying, we're going up 20-25%. Well, Mr. Seller, unfortunately, this time is not like that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you seeing from the agents on the team?
I mean, we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of, we're doing RPRs or market analysis on properties, and it's not coming in at the value that the seller thinks the home should be worth because there's an emotional value involved there. And I think a lot of people, a lot of sellers that bought during the height of the market aren't seeing the equity that people who bought right before the yep. height of the market.
So they missed out on the timing,
mm-hmm.
but in their mind, they're trying to keep the timing going.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Yeah. And same thing with buyers. We're seeing a lot of buyers that are that waited because the bubble was going to pop and we were going to have another crash.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
Nope.
And they've now priced themselves out of the market with affordability.
Yes, unfortunately, that's the case. So what are you noticing amongst the team when it comes to the appraisal values of some of these properties?
Well, it's become more prevalent than it used to be, but we are seeing the occasional where the price is a little bit higher than it should be because of concessions, because that is something that's increased recently. And it's not appraising. we're having a appraisal deficits that we're having to now either find properties that match so that we can say this is why we are buying it, or we're going to have to go back to that listing agent and we're going to say, hey, this is what the appraisal is coming in at. What is your seller going to do?
Yeah.
We haven't seen it quite a much. We haven't seen it mostly at all with our listings, because we are super notorious for making sure that we price our properties right. That's one of our big standards, is making sure that we know what the market is doing in the neighborhood that we're listing a property.
Yes. So are you seeing, and maybe you can comment on this, I'll comment my own comment, that we have agents that are coming in with a full price offer or above the full price offer so that the buyer can finance their closing costs. And the lenders and the appraisers who work for the lenders are coming in and saying, sorry, we're not going to finance your closing costs. So, Mr. Seller, your house isn't worth $350,000. It's really only worth $340,000. So the $10,000 that we raised your price to cover the closing costs for the buyer, we're not going to give you.
Yeah.
And so how many deals are we seeing fall through because of that? Because the seller says, wait a minute, I want $340,000. And if you can't come in and buy it for $340,000, which is what the appraisal is without concessions, well, then I guess I need to look for a new buyer.
Yeah, our DFT, or deal fall through rate, has increased over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I think, that and a few other things, under not understanding some realistic expectations that buyers and sellers need to have. Because if you really think about it and you truly dig into the data, we are essentially resetting back to where we were back in 2019. So 2019 was a normal year for us in real estate. And then 2020, 2021, 2022 all happened, and they were essentially what we could consider outlier years. They were just oddball years. The market went crazy. Days on market went crazy. List to sales price ratio went crazy. People were getting way above and beyond what they should have gotten for the house. And now we're balancing back out to where we were back in 19 here in 2024.
Yep. Do you also see people, and I'm going to use this phrase, a lot of people from the Midwest probably know this phrase, people with champagne taste but beer pocket money?
Yeah. Affordability has definitely taken a hit in the last few years. I mean, we can talk a little bit more about concessions. You know, you were talking about financing closing costs. It's not always financing closing costs. There is sometimes where they're trying to get concessions from the seller to buy down the rate so that they can afford the payment.
Yep.
Because it's less about champagne taste on a beer budget and more the affordability and inflation has sort of taken the first-time home buyer out of the market.
Yeah.
At a very, very high level. And if sellers keep pricing the way they think they should price, and being so, maybe unwilling isn't the right word, but not being able to see the bigger picture and being able to come into a little more realistic number according to where the market stands, we might see a little bit more of that, especially if cash comes into any market.
Yeah. Do you see a point at which the lending institutions will more institutionalize 40-year mortgages to allow people to come in and pay less per month? Or do you start seeing the first-time or second-round buyer, instead of looking for the 2,500-square-foot four-bedroom home, looking for a 1,950-square-foot three-bedroom home and being satisfied with that?
I think they're definitely going to look at other options. Maybe something smaller with an ADU where they can get some type of subsidy by renting it out to get something coming in to help pay their mortgage.
Okay. Hey everyone, we want to interrupt this episode to let you know that we are a Keller Williams Southern Arizona franchise.
We are also realtors practicing equal housing. Now let's get you back to the podcast.
Okay, so an ADU, tell us what that is.
An additional dwelling unit or a guest house is the more common term for it. I don't know if Tucson's the only one that uses the term ADU, but
not a duplex. Don't confuse it with a duplex.
No, this is a completely secondary unit within a property, like essentially a tiny home behind a single family house.
So like a college student could use it, or you could rent it out for like a week or two for winter visitors or summer visitors.
Yep. Or, you know, two friends could buy, one could live in the main house and one could live at the back unit.
Yep. Okay. Interesting. So tell me a little bit about the contingencies we're starting to see in the marketplace here.
Well, contingencies were normal. I'm going to say back in the day, but that was really only like 2018, 2019. Yeah.
And what we're talking about contingencies is we're talking about sale of home contingencies, okay, which are in other parts of the country are very, very common. But here in the Tucson area, they're not very common at all.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I'm more on the stats side on here on the team.
Yeah.
I do a lot more research data, and I've done a lot more back end work in my almost 10-year real estate career than most real estate agents have.
I agree to that.
So I've seen a lot of oddities when it comes to real estate transactions, because I've seen the plethora over multiple different, because, you know, working for the brokerage, I got to work with a bunch of different agents. I remember one transaction that I worked with helping an agent on, and it was a 7-leg buyer contingency transaction.
So 7 dominoes had to fall in sequential order in a timely manner for the final domino, which was the first sale to happen.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of juggling.
Yep.
It takes a lot of systematization and just everybody doing the right things at the right time for it to all work out. I mean, it literally, with something like that, takes one person doing something dumb to screw over potentially 4 or 5 other people.
So you had 7 agents in the mix, like herding cats, I'll bet.
Yeah, 7 agents, multiple brokerages, and plus the clients on top of that, just making sure everybody stays in line. So, but those contingencies were very normal. That was something, you know, somebody had to sell a house to buy another house, and everything had to happen at once. That was easy. 1 or 2 here, 1 or 2 there, 2018, 2019, normal. 2020, that couldn't happen. 2021, essentially, if you wanted the house, you had to be able to put that cash down now.
Yeah.
So we didn't see a lot of that. And now we're starting to see that again, where people are in a house, they want to upgrade, or they want to downgrade, and they're having to sell their house to afford another one.
Yep.
So
interesting. Well, Heather, there's price reductions that are skewing the price ratios that we have here now. So what we're starting to see is the list to sale price changes.
Yeah. So a lot of markets track this. Really, it's essentially what you list the property for versus what you actually sell the property for. And you want to see a very narrow margin there. You want to see it at 100%. Between 98 and 100% is pretty normal, depending on how you price the property. If you price the property right, you're going to get 100 or more, because you've done your research. You know what it's going to sell for, because that's what the market says it sells for.
Yeah.
98 is for those that I want to just get a little bit more out of it if I can, or we go up just a little bit knowing the market's there for it. But I have to do concessions for it, those kinds of things. In 2022, let me look at my data really quick,
because
I did a lot of research to make sure I could see where our top end and our low end is. So 2019, we started out at 98%. That was the average list to sales price ratio.
So 2% off of the asking price.
2% off of the asking price. Right now, as of December 2023, we're at 98.5%.
So we didn't hardly move at all.
You'd say that. You'd think we haven't moved.
But what happened?
But
a
lot has
happened between 1919 and 2023. What happened there?
So you see slowly throughout the data that it kind of slowly creeps its way up, maxing out at the average list to sales price ratio of 100.6. So people were getting more than what they were listing it for, because people were coming in and going, I want this house. I want this house. I'm going to pay more just because I want this house. And it was a bidding war.
Yeah.
People were bidding it up. I know we had one where we sold it for $60,000 over list price, because we got into a bidding war with two or three clients that
it's like 14% above list price.
Yeah, like they just somebody really if you really want the house, some people will just pay what it is because they've got the cash to do so.
Yeah.
But because of that, we were seeing things like 5 and 6 days on the market or less a lot of times, and that's your average. You know, you were seeing 5 or 6 days on market there, you know, maybe 10. But there were a lot of properties that the second they were listed, they were gone.
Oh, yeah.
They
or
were
they
like
were gone
hours.
Before they were listed.
Yeah, they were hours or less on the market.
Yep.
And so between 2019 and 2020, our days on market dropped 20%. And then from 2020 to 2021, it dropped 63%.
Wow.
That's for your median days on market. So that mid-ground days on market. But then between 2022 and 2023, our days on market increased by 169%.
So longer on the market, not as many buyers, sellers overpricing their house, interest rates high. All kinds of factors change that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mostly it's because we still have, unfortunately, some unrealistic buyers or unrealistic sellers that think they can still go, I have a champagne house, when in reality, it's more like an apple cider house.
Yeah.
Or it's in an area that they're like, oh, I can ask for this, but the house needs a lot of love.
Yeah.
As we say, it needs, it's a 1970s house in a 2024 world.
Yeah.
So you have those kinds of things. And because of that, we're seeing this big gap, between original list price to what it actually sells for. The gap maxed out at 94% of list to sales price ratio from original price at
that
point.
That's a huge, huge space. That's 6%.
Yeah. But it decreases if you just look at what list to sales price, because at the time that they listed it, they actually sat on the market for 180, maybe 200 days. And every 2 or 3 months, their agent would go to them and say, hey, I think we need to have a price reduction.
Yeah, we like to use the term, congratulations, you're the highest bidder on your house still.
Yeah, but really what we're trying to do is bring the sellers back into line where the market is, because we have our extremes, unfortunately. We still have our extremes of people thinking the market's going to crash.
Yeah.
And then others thinking, oh, well, we're not going to have another crash. We're going to have another surge. So I'm going to wait for it to surge so I can get top dollar for my house again.
Yeah.
So we have those extremes. And in reality, we're kind of somewhere in the middle. We're back to a balanced market. It's a different balanced market than it was back in the day, back in 1617, where it was $160,000, $170,000 house. I'm talking Tucson numbers here. I'm not talking to any other market because
Santa Barbara.
Those are definitely different numbers. But like our average home sale price back in 2016, 2017 was anywhere between $160,000 and $250,000.
Yeah.
And right now our average is, median average is between $380,000 and $480,000. That's a big gap.
Yeah.
And that happened in 4 years.
And the interest rates are about the same as they were back then.
Yeah. So our affordability has definitely decreased here in Tucson.
And
especially for the first time,
States, yeah.
Especially for that first time home buyer, my age range, who, I mean, I was lucky to have gotten my house when I got my house because I definitely couldn't afford to buy a house in the current market.
Yeah. That's a lot of information. And we hope we didn't lose you in the weeds. The net bottom line, I think, Heather, you'd agree with me, is that don't believe that the list price is the sale price and don't believe that you can go and steal a house.
Yeah. And also, on the other side of that, don't think that you can also put whatever number on a house and you're definitely going to get it.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. We hope this helped you out. Until the next time, have a great day.
Thank you for listening and watching the Nitty Gritty of Real Estate podcast here with the Tom J. Krieger team of Keller Williams, Southern Arizona. If you are interested in buying a home, selling a home, or even investing in real estate, we have 5,000 agents across the country that we can connect you to. If you need any free resources, feel free to check out our website at www.thetjkteam.com. We hope you have a great day.